It's Thursday, August 11th, 2016, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games, and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 156. You can charge a man for a lemon, but you can't make him eat. Runtime for this episode is 52 minutes. Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that's younger than the Pharaohs. My name is Jeremy.
That's not really much of an accomplishment. I'm Tyler.
Some of us might be younger than the Pharaohs. I've been around a while. My name is Zach.
Anyway, Zach, what have you been playing?
Well, I've been working on playing Revelations some more.
How's that going?
Pretty well.
Have things been revealed?
Kinda. It's only kinda? Yeah, kinda.
You know what's up with Dragon Chick, who's not actually a dragon? Your princess sister?
Oh, yes.
Who, at the end of my story, just decided she was dead and left, and even though she was my wife.
That happens in both of them.
Yeah, it seems like for just $20, you can find out what the story behind this character is. Buy now, kids.
It's not nearly that bad. You just hate on it because you don't like DLC.
I already bought it. It just seems like bad storytelling.
Or is it lucrative storytelling?
Possibly.
I bought it. This Sunday, me and Tyler But on Sunday, me and Tyler actually played through the entirety of the Ruby.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. That took like an hour.
I saw a bad review about that.
It took longer than that.
That is true.
It's not that bad of a game.
It's above average, but maybe not much.
It's not like gonna set the world on fire, fantastic storytelling and or anything like that.
But it's got voice acting.
Fine. It's a fine time to waste some time with friends.
Yeah, it's fun. It's reasonably not terrible.
That sounds like my review of Ruby. Only drop reasonably.
just not terrible.
Just begrudgingly, it's not terrible. Young girls need role models, and these girls are cool. I'm just sad that girls' role models and action-adventure female characters are so few and far between. People have to settle for these and think they're great, when really they just are the only ones that are there.
But we played through it. We beat the game. There was much swearing involved, but that's because I was involved.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't actually remember that much swearing. Although, man, I just, like, suddenly forgot how to play the game at all in the last two levels and just kept constantly dying.
Huh.
Yeah, like the last level, Tyler was like, I'm dead.
Yeah, I kind of stopped paying attention to the enemies because I was just trying to do things, and yeah, that didn't work very well.
I specifically made sure to take the medic skill so I could continually revive his dumb ass. It worked out quite well. We ended up beating the game. There's only 10 levels. It's not that long. A lot of wave.
I mean, each of the levels are relatively long. The final boss is actually kind of disappointing. It's not a very satisfying fight, I guess.
Boss fights and horde games don't tend to be very good.
It's a giant scorpion.
With endlessly spawning waves of enemies who support it.
Alone it's a bit more of a rough fight, but when you have two people, one person just gets on horde duty, and the other person actually fights the boss.
Although it's intended as a four-player game, so you could probably split that even more, cut it down to size.
Yeah, probably. But then again, there's probably also more enemies horde on the field at that time.
That's probably true.
Because the Lord of Terror's minions grow stronger for every character you have in play.
It was pretty okay.
It was a fun time.
I mean, I'm probably going to play through it again some other time if I can also get Kevin on.
I got to a 200-hit combo.
Oh, yeah. So we're trying to get Zach the achievement of get a 100-hit combo. And we definitely got over that. And then he didn't get the achievement. It was kind of sad.
Then we looked it up and found out I already had it.
Is that what happened? I forgot.
Yeah, I looked it up and I'd already had it. But we found out the best way of dealing with the bear enemies that show up, they're really tanky, hard to take down, is shoot them until they die.
Oh, wow. Good strat.
It worked.
I mean,
I'd pay $10.99 for that strat.
You say that. They're actually kind of a pain in the ass, and you definitely can't do that with Yang. But it turns out if you have literally any of the other characters, you can just sit there and spam your ranged attack, and they get stunlocked to death.
I was also playing a lot of League of Legends. I saw something in one of my games that I've literally never seen before.
A good Teemo?
No, those don't exist.
There was that time High played Teemo and beat TSM in the season opener.
But it was like a freaking unicorn in real life. So we're sitting there, we're playing the game. Our team is losing. And then, out of nowhere, from our mid lane Katarina, sorry guys, that was my bad. It was just such a weird experience. And then because of this, the next day, League had to go down for maintenance.
Because of that one thing?
Well, I mean, you probably haven't seen it, but there's a comic that was floating around where everybody's blaming each other, and then it gets to the last guy and goes, yeah, sorry guys, that was my bad. Server has crashed. The cycle of hatred and toxicity that fuels our servers has been broken. We are not sure how long it will take before servers are back online.
Anything else, Zach?
Well, I started messing around with the Pokemon Go.
With the Pokemon's Go?
Yeah, the Pokemon's Go. Well, just because I needed an excuse to get out and walk around, because usually if I don't have an excuse, I'm not going to go out walking, because I, as a person, need to go somewhere.
Did you catch a sweet Ice Vulpix?
No, I did see that, though.
What now?
They've announced for the next Pokemon game there are going to be like regional Pokemon that are different types from normal.
Oh, that's cool.
One of them is Ice Vulpix, and then there's Steel Sandshrew, and Exeggutor that's a palm tree.
Wait, isn't that already
a thing? It's got a super long neck, and then its head is at the top. It looks hilarious. It's like it attacks the headbutt people by falling on them.
Yeah.
That actually sounds fairly amusing.
They've gotten to the point of, we're out of ideas. Recolors.
Well,
we can,
I mean,
always
to be fair,
recolor.
Like, a lot
Ice
of
Vulpix might actually be good.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of games get into palette swaps, like, within the same game. So, I mean, to be fair, it took them a while to get around to palette swaps.
20 years?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm still looking forward to that. But, I mean, I went out walking. I ended up catching a Machoke the first night I went out.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Cool.
And I got a Psyduck as well.
Yeah,
and an Abra.
It's rare to find evolutions in the wild.
I assume so. Abra seems to spawn around us a lot. One of the show notes, Tyler linked to this like website that just shows you Pokemon near you. So I spent a week just looking around just because I was curious. There seem to be lots of Abra and Slowpoke around us for some reason.
There's
always a Rattata on my block. Always.
I just walked through my neighborhood, so I didn't actually... I was initially going to go down the bike path near me.
Yeah.
But when I went out walking, it was 9 o'clock and dark as hell.
Yeah.
That's a
and
perfect time
hell,
to go looking for Pokemon. So
not on my bike path.
Yeah, not on
when there is no light whatsoever.
Why not?
Because there's no light.
Because there's
what's the problem? I don't. You don't need light to catch Pokemon.
Zach doesn't have dark vision.
Oh,
unfortunately, I don't have that feat. No.
Yeah. I mean, you should take that. Aren't you like a 7th level fighter by this point? Come on.
Fighters can't take dark vision, man. And I haven't noticed the whole people out talks of people playing Pokemon Go or anything like that. Maybe that's because I'm out at like 9 o'clock.
Also, I think that time has passed. I'm not sure.
Probably.
I mean, I still occasionally run into people, but it's less frequent.
And I know that near me, the park is a gym. The pool next to it is a Pokestop. And there's a Pokestop, like, right next to it. There's a small little,
okay.
Like...
That's not bad.
They call it a park. It's like a table under an awning.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Yola Park, but no.
I ran into a guy at the mall, we were at the mall specifically for the purpose of not catching sweet Pokemon, we swear. And we walked through the food court because the carousel in the center of the food court is a Pokestop, and it's almost always lured. And I heard some guy saying something to the effect of, it's the one that evolves into the thing with four arms. I'm like, you're thinking of Machamp or Machoke. And he just like looks at me and he gives me the strangest look. I'm like, what else could you possibly be talking about?
Goro.
Or Shiva.
Shiva. Da Vinci.
Kintaro.
Evolves into four arms.
Either that or... What's your upper arm called?
We're not anatomy specialists. That's what it's called.
Yeah. Hey, I can have terrible jokes too. I take so seldom of a chance to use them.
Anything else seldom?
Other than that, I still need to get through more of Mirage sessions, but I haven't really been going at it.
Mirage session? Oh, that one.
Performa,
yeah. Yeah, I have asked about that literally every time he's referred to it by that name. Yep.
I don't know what else you would call it.
I mean, the full title is Tokyo Mirage Sessions FE.
Yeah, iron. That's what that stands for, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, since you probably haven't been playing Mirage Sessions, what have you been playing, Tyler?
That's a good question. I mean, some Pokemon Go, that's been a thing. I got an Arcanine recently. It's easily my best Pokemon.
That's a legendary Pokemon.
Technically.
By definition.
It is the legendary Pokemon.
Yeah, it's the only legendary Pokemon. It's got a power level 1200. That was after powering it up a little bit, but I had a particularly buff Growlithe in the first place, and it was Fire Fang and Flamethrower.
Is that the CP thing?
Yeah.
I think my highest is 88, and I think it's a Paris.
Yeah, well...
Oh, what did you start with? That's an important question.
Squirtle.
Huh, okay.
Because that was the one I happened to be able to click on at the time.
My problem with the starters in that game at all are, like, they're completely useless because we'll never see another one of those ever again, so just take some space in your inventory.
Apparently, if you walk away from the starters,
you can get
three or four times, a Pikachu will spawn.
Yep. Which is also a terrible Pokemon, and you should probably take one of the starters because you'll find more Pikachu in the wild.
Yeah, that was my thought, but...
Although, it's an interesting nod to the anime.
Yes, it is.
I don't think it's a good one.
Yeah, they also, have you guys heard about the Eevee choice thing?
Yeah, if you name it Rainer, it'll turn into a Vaporeon. Pyro, it turns into a Flareon, and like Sparks, it turns into a Jolteon.
Yeah, it's named after the three brothers in the anime who had Eeveelutions. You can only do it once per Eeveelution, but otherwise it's random.
Okay.
So it's a guarantee to get at least one of them. I still don't have a Flareon, but I'm hesitant to waste that much EV candy on getting a Flareon. I think the game I've actually played the most of recently is Tomb Raider. So I picked that back up again and played a few hours of that yesterday, I want to say.
What do you think?
That's so pretty good. Actually, so my biggest problem with it is, mechanically, it's very sound. I really, like, all the items you get are both, like, locomotion items and also useful outside of locomotion. Maybe not locomotion, but they help you explore the map in addition to being useful in combat.
You can do it, Lara. That's like 95% of the dialogue.
Oh yeah, though, actually, that was going to be my next point. Is not... Actually, people seem to really be down on her. They're just like, man, you got us into this mess. You suck. And she's like, I'm sorry.
It actually feels like it's like two or three people who are like that. I mean, the cook guy never really...
Yeah, no, he's cool. I like him.
He's like, I'm a big cook guy.
I'm a big cook
guy. Do you have any lines? No.
He's nice. He gives her a compound bow at one point.
Her friend disappears so often that I always forgot she was in that game.
She only gets kidnapped once in the entire game, too. She's just gone for half the game. My problem with the dialogue, specifically, is that everyone else is a much better voice actor than the person they hired to play Lara. So, like, everyone else is, like, given, like, emotionally filled lines, and she's like, yes, Sam, that's a great idea. Why don't you go get some sleep? And she's like, oh, thanks, Laura. You're the best. And she's like, I do what I can. I'm British.
I've acquired an accent.
Like, it's not a problem when you're out alone, which is most of the time, because you don't have anyone better to compare her to. But the second she's interacting with anyone else, you're like, man, everyone else is a better voice actor than this person.
But hey, that person did a pretty good job with the breathy panting.
Yes.
She was really good at screaming when she died, so she got hired.
Which happens a lot.
Man, you just suck, don't you?
Mostly it happens when I'm trying to get back down from a place. I'm like, oh, there's a thing up there. I'm going to go get it. And then I try to jump back down. I'm like, ah, there's like not really a great way back down. And then the mechanics are like, you know how you could wall jump that way? You can't wall jump the other way. Hit an invisible ceiling. And then I fall to my death repeatedly.
My problem was always, like, there was a couple of parts where you have to dodge around stuff. And the controls felt a little sticky on that. But you're probably not that far.
Well, I'm almost done with the game, actually.
Well, it's not that long of a game. So if you played it for a few hours, you're probably most of the way at this point.
So, really, my biggest problem with the plot of Tomb Raider is that it's actually kind of the same problem you have with Ruby. Stuff just happens. You're not really being proactive about it. There's not really much. I mean, early on, there's some character growth. I'll give it that. There's actually some really dramatic moments early
on. It is supposed to be Lara Croft Begins, despite I think the next one being called Tomb Raider Begins.
No, the next one is actually called Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Oh, okay.
So, my problem is, once you, like, she establishes herself as, like, the active member of the group, and to be fair, she's not, like, just monstrous ass-kicker. She's, like, a reasonable human who just happened to be thrust into a situation that she's
somehow
managed to
survive. She is not a reasonable human. Have you seen how much punishment that chick can take?
That is true. She gets chokeholded by, like, giant Russians regularly and is just fine.
Falls, like, a couple hundred feet. Perfectly okay.
She's a regular Wolverine. Go on. It's actually X-23 Origins.
Yeah.
That explains a lot.
It really does. She heals at about the same rate.
So in the next game, you'll have her claws.
Yeah.
Well, that's an upgrade you have to get, though. You have to stab them into your own hands. But my biggest problem is, like, once she gets around to, like, getting out of the beginning of the game, stuff just happens and you just go there. Like, I actually just had a portion where I, like, went back and helped some survivors and, like, okay, now this thing happened. Go do the thing, because the thing happened. I'm like, okay, this doesn't really make any sense plot-wise. I don't know why I'm going to this location. How do I know to go here?
I thought most of the time whenever that came up when I played it, it wasn't so much that type of situation. I always knew where I was going and why. The problem was, oftentimes, in order to move the plot forward, you got captured for reasons I'm not entirely sure of.
And my understanding is the final boss makes you magically teleport your guns off you and fight him with a bow and arrow or something.
That's okay. That's my preferred weapon anyway.
I don't remember that.
I didn't actually play it. That's just what I heard someone complaining about.
I have beaten it, and I was trying to remember, but I don't think so. I think you might get all, everything but your pistols.
The person might have been complaining about a cutscene right before the final boss, where Lara's like, guns, what am those?
Yeah, but that's a... cutscenes always have that problem, where a character should be like, here's a cutscene, and they have an arsenal strapped to their back, but they're in the cutscene, they're incredibly vulnerable, because all they have is their combat knife, and you're like... I've got two different shotguns, four assault rifles, a sniper rifle, and a rocket launcher. Why am I vulnerable again?
You're a girl.
I've been mostly saying negative things about it, but it's actually an above average game overall. I actually really like it, but the writing could use some work, I think.
I really liked it as well. That's why when I saw that it was on sale on the Steam sale, I picked it up. I haven't downloaded it or started playing it again, but I agree with you. I think it's a really well done game.
It hits it's a Metroidvania without a power suit, and I can wait. Like, this will tide me over until I get another good Metroid game.
Although it doesn't have very many tombs to raid.
Yeah, I was going to say, the biggest complaint I heard was insufficient tombs to raid.
I think there's, like, seven, and they're, like, no actual puzzles, like, difficult puzzles. I think I figured them all out fairly simply, which...
There is one I've had trouble with so far, and by trouble, I mean it took me, like, a couple minutes to solve.
One of them I had a lot of trouble actually getting. I can't remember exactly which one it was, but I do remember there was one puzzle that I had a lot of difficulty solving. Not because I had difficulty actually figuring out what I needed to do, it was a mechanics problem.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of them have just been execution challenges. Like, I'll stare at it for about 10 seconds and go, oh, that's what they want me to do. And then the hard part is actually doing it.
Yeah.
Although my favorite sub-task that you can complete is called Cairn Raider, where you're just, like, tearing down little burial mounds. So, otherwise known as cairns. That's... been pretty much it. I actually played a fair amount of the assignment, and also some Monster Hunter. I forgot about that. That's still a fun game.
Did you kill any chupacabras?
I did, actually. Kill a chupacabra monkey. So, assuming chupacabras are monkeys, and also giant, but it is blood-sucking, so.
I still need to actually start that one up. I have never opened the box for it.
It's okay. I actually went to start it and realized I have Monster Hunter 3.
Yeah, me too, and I never got that far in it. I'm not sure how I feel about the game. I burn out on it in a similar way to how I burn out on MMOs.
It seems very MMO.
Yeah, and it's much more fun with a lot of people, like MMOs. My problem is, like, a lot of the missions kind of feel the same after a while.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why I had to kind of stop playing Payday so much and do something else. It's because they start to feel samey.
What was I going to say?
When you've already done every mission, like, 400 times.
So, random Tibia... That worked a lot better as a pun in my head, but...
Have you been playing Tibia, then?
Yes. No, I haven't, actually, but...
I actually downloaded it and played it for about 2 seconds and said, oh, yeah, no.
This game was fun when Zach was being killed all the time.
So there's a door fairly early on, I don't know if you guys remember, that says that it's only accessible to level 999. So the devs put that in as a joke because they're like, no one's going to get that high a level. Guess what? It's been 10 years since they put that in, and there's a guy who's level 998, and I think earlier this week, I haven't followed up on it yet, hit level 999, so...
The devs have to actually expose what's behind that door.
Yeah, and my expectation...
Is the door in Rook?
It's either in Rook or in the area you go to right after Rook, after you get level 8.
I was
going to
say, because if it's in Rook, it's kind of a non-issue, because you can't get the Rook at that level, I don't think.
Yeah, well, I'll...
No, I think the only way to
you can stay in Rook.
Okay, yeah, that's
yeah, but I think really the only way to get back to Rook is to be Rook,
which requires you to be level 5.
So, for those of you who don't know, Tibia is like an isometric 2D MMO with like the fantasy classes and training, lots of training. You get better at skills by doing them more often.
PvP is a thing.
Also, yeah, Zach died a lot.
I got revenge. Calling on my higher level teammates, my high level friends,
I think is actually.
Yeah, what we
I
mean,
got revenge by going, cousins.
Yeah, what
Chris.
We mean, we were part of a mob, is really what.
You got vigilante mob justice. You killed Frankenstein, is really what happened.
I can't remember what, like, I know they had a clan. I can't remember what it was, but it was the.
I remember Chris's mom was, like, the clan's money generator because she played a druid and just sat around making healing runes all day.
Factories are good. That's how you make money.
Do you remember when I was following you at one point and set a river on fire?
Yes. Yes, I do.
I was trying to fish as we were walking along, and I accidentally clicked on my fireball rune. And so I shot a big-ass fireball into the middle of a lake.
So it was a fun game for way back when. I think it's been, man.
In the pre-World of Warcraft world, that was a pretty good MMO.
It's actually still a pretty fun game for exploration purposes, but it's not a very good game overall.
Depends on how many times you have to get level 9.
Yeah, also that. Yeah, oh, yeah, we were talking about being rooked. There's an island you start on called Rook. You can leave it after you get to a certain level, and you choose 8. A class at that point. If you fall below a certain level, you get sent back there, and you lose experience every time you die. There are people who, like, you may have heard of them. They're called trolls. They like to be assholes.
They like to sit under bridges and then kill Zach when he tries to cross them.
Yeah, which you can actually do in that game.
Anything else, Tyler?
No. What have you been up to?
Well, I spent all day on Friday playing Persona Arena with you.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's a fun game. I like that game.
There are robots and chicks with bows and arrows.
I've never played an Arc System Works fighting game before, and that is, it feels natural to me in a way that Street Fighter never did.
Arc Systems?
Yeah. They make Guilty Gear,
Blaze Blue.
I am semi-familiar with Guilty Gear and Blaze Blue, purely through the medium of Death Battle.
Yeah, I forgot they did that one.
I'm familiar with them mostly through Evo and watching people being going, I should buy that game. What, $40 for a video game? That crazy.
Yeah, it's hard living in the age of Steam and then wanting a AAA title.
Other than that, I've just been starting games and kind of bouncing off them. I started Earthbound again, got through the second dungeon, and then didn't lose interest exactly, but didn't keep playing it.
That's what's happened to me. I've noticed a lot where it's like, I really, really like this game. And then you look up and go, it's been a week and I haven't played it. What happened exactly?
Work, being an adult, it's a problem.
that's what's been burning me.
Then StarCraft II, I restarted playing that game. I'm like, I'm going to beat the Zerg campaign. I owe it to myself to do that. I'll start the Terran campaign. Oh my god, this is so boring.
Siege tanks.
Yeah.
The answer is always siege tanks.
I haven't played a Zelda game in years. Literally years.
Neither have I.
Okay, well,
I haven't since Skyward Sword came out. I guess technically it's been since then because I played Link to the Past all the way through for this podcast.
And I think I...
And Link's Awakening as well.
Yeah, okay, that doesn't count. Neither of those games that we've definitely played for this podcast.
Didn't you play like Oracle of Seasons right before that?
No, I was playing it with my niece, but I don't think that really counted.
Okay.
I played Wind Waker shortly after playing Skyward Sword, and I haven't played through another one since.
One day I'm going to finish Wind Waker.
One day. Where did you get?
Like, to the first town.
Okay.
Like, I snuck through, like, the pirate base, and then...
Gotcha. I was going to say, you didn't even get to the stalling part, which they actually kind of fixed in the HD version.
That's my understanding, and I'm playing the HD version.
Especially once you get this super fast sail of twice the size of this world, because, man, it's got a lot of empty space.
So then I started playing Dwarf Fortress, in part because it's one of the major inspirations for my current D&D campaign, and I needed to help visualize the city my characters are going to.
How is it? Because, like, it doesn't have a consistent story, does
it? No.
Okay. I have a 6 dexterity.
Yeah, you've mentioned that a couple times. Good dodge chance.
So anyway, I was looking for good sites to build on, and there was one that was almost perfect, except for I had a very few trees and was next to a necromancer tower. But there were no goblins or evil or anything like that, and there was a river through it, and lots of iron and fluxstone. And
well, if you're right next to a necromancer, isn't that a good thing? Because, I mean, you can contract him, so if one of your guys dies, you can have him raise the zombie and then continue using them to work.
So I started playing, and I started my fortress. My first migrant wave came, and it was 3 people because I'd kind of messed up because I haven't played Dwarf Fortress in a long time, and I forgot to bring someone who could make me any sort of money.
Details.
I mean, I managed to fix it, but I was like, oh yeah, I need to have like a gross national product. And the like one kind of problem with the area was there's no underground dirt, so I had to create an elaborate floodgate system near the river to create a farm. My people almost starved to death and just managed to get the farm together in time to not die. And then the necromancer attacked.
Oh, what did he attack?
A human farmer necromancer. With 3 zombies, a human lasher, a human hammerer, and Istalkor Kababambam, the legendary warrior risen again.
One of these things is not like the others.
So they sent me to siege so the dwarves wouldn't come, like, trade with me. The elves eventually came, and they got killed by zombies and left, so I got a free tiger out of the deal. But they were sieging me, but they were really just sitting, like, off in one of the corners of the maps, not doing anything. And so I'm like, well, this sucks, but it seems dealable. I guess I have 10 people. I guess you two are the army now. crap, there's no wood here. I can't make steel. You guys dig until you find coal. You guys take these wooden spears the elves brought and train.
I like how you're like, hey, you've been drafted.
That's how Dwarf Fortress works.
Well, yeah, of two people, you've made a two-person militia. That's, that's not a militia, that's two guys with sticks at that point.
So sharpened sticks.
So then the necromancer was like, I'm bored, and left, but left his living corpses. And a migrant wave came. I'm like, okay, you six, you are now also in the army. And then the hammerer just walked into my base and got captured by a cage trap. But that meant his two friends were like coming to try to rescue him. I'm like, okay, the six of you go after the legendary warrior there. Somehow he broke his neck, so, and his spine, so you should be fine. They swarmed around him and then all died like it was an anime. They just all turned into blood. They managed to like break both his hands and one of his legs and his arm, but they died. So then I sent a bunch of hunters after it to like crossbow murder him, but they couldn't kill him either. And so now I have a bunch of dwarves trapped on one side of the river, horrified of this mangled legendary zombie, while the rest of them try to work. So I'm not sure if I'm going to continue this fortress or not.
How did he even defeat them?
I don't know. It happened too quickly.
He's the legendary warrior. He ripped a nasty one and they all died.
There was literally just a square with six dwarf corpses around it.
Turns out he's actually the dragonborn.
One of them had...
Two of
them had crossbows and were at range. I don't even know how they got there. He's crippled enough that I don't really have to be scared of him, but my dwarves are horrified of him. And quite a few of them are depressed because he killed a kid and, like, three of the dwarves in the army were married.
And he just shouted them to death, apparently.
Yeah. And I don't really know what I'm going to do. And also, the necromancer sent three more zombies. Who are just hanging out at the edge of the map, but...
But that's kind of annoying, so...
Yeah, and I can't really forge weapons that are going to be effective at beating them.
Because turns out sharpened sticks are not particularly useful weapons against legendary warriors of legend.
Yes.
Zombies. Piercing weapons are not great against zombies.
They have DR5.
Yeah.
Against pierce.
Well, there's an argument in the Dwarf Fortress community about whether or not slashing weapons are good against the undead, because they're really effective, but, like, the hands will keep coming at you. If you, like, sever an arm, it will keep coming after you.
Huh. That's actually kind of a cool mechanic, but...
Yeah. So there's the argument of, is slashing weapons better? You dice them up into pieces quickly, or blunt weapons, so you...
Actually
smash things?
Yeah.
How does that work if the arm can behave autonomously? Like, if you kill the brain, does then the arm die?
I don't know, but, like, this thing has no head and is still coming and is still murdering my dwarves effortlessly. That's the word I want, effortlessly.
We're going to say helplessly?
I was, and I'm like, that's not right.
That's the opposite of what I want.
Yes. So, yeah, that's what I've been playing. That and I also played quite a bit of The Assignment, which is Mega Man Quattro. The, what, eighth Mega Man game we've played? Not quite that many.
Sixth, I think. Maybe
Codename Sandrock?
Seventh.
It is eighth.
Is it?
Because have we played up
three,
Mega Man
4,
3
5,
on the Game Boy?
And X. No.
Okay.
Three, Mega Man 3 on Game Boy will be the next one we play.
So seven then.
Yeah, seventh. I said last week where they kind of started working less hard on them, though this game is not as bad as I feared. It's got some cool stuff in it. It feels like a, you know, pretty good effort, but it also feels like they just cranked out another one because it wasn't that hard.
And it's lucrative.
Just pull the lever on the Mega Man machine.
Which is still better than lots of other stuff that was out at the time and lots of the other games we've played for this podcast, but it did feel kind of uninspired. It's definitely, like I think most Mega Man games, it gets better the more you play it, but it doesn't have quite the same hook as 1 or 2.
I've heard kidnapping also gets better the longer you're napped, so I'm not sure if that's a great indictment.
I actually just think I've talked about this before. When you get to Wily's castle, or Cossack's castle in this case, the game opens up a lot more because it can test all the things you've gotten because you're guaranteed to have them all. The game kind of changes. The beginning of the game, there are some levels that are easier than others, but all of them have to be completable with no resources. So as you start to gain resources, the game starts to get easy. And then once you get to the castle part of the game...
It picks back up again.
Yeah. And there are cool bosses because they're not just mans. They can be giant helmets or cool robot drill things.
So I'm pretty sure for this particular Mega Man game, they actually just opened up a dictionary and chose eight random words because they have no relation to each other. Ring Man? What is that with rainbow bridges? How is that even consistent theming? Come on, guys. I expect better of you.
He proposes to an awful lot of people.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense. I assumed like hula hoops for some reason, or like diving rings because of Dive Man.
Yeah, in previous games, not only have the weaknesses kind of made sense, but a lot of times when you get a character's weapon, it's really useful on the stage of the character who's weak to it. That's kind of gone out the window here.
So, you know how there's Pharaoh Man and Toad Man, and there's like this whole like biblical story about involving, you know, some pharaohs and some toads? They have absolutely no relation to each other in this game.
I thought it was frogs, actually.
Yeah, it is frogs, but, you know.
So clearly different.
It's the Japanese. I can't expect them to know the difference between toads and frogs.
So back from Mega Man 3 are the slide, which is still pretty useful. There are lots of sort of timed areas. He was talking about rainbow bridges before. They kind of disappear as you go along them, but you can slide and easily outrun them.
You also get all the rush power-ups again.
Yep. You start with rush coil like before. You also get rush jet and rush marine later, just like in Mega Man 3. Which, again, I don't want to say seems lazy, because I think they really hit on something with Rush. But Mega Man 3 had different stuff from Mega Man 2, which made it feel...
different?
Yeah.
Like they maybe tried a little. You also get the wire adapter in this, though. That's useful.
One of the cool things, I think, is they added two hidden items, which you can miss, and they just help with your mobility a bit.
There are two? I missed one of them, apparently.
They're both in kind of obvious parts. The wire is super obvious. There's this pit in the middle of an underwater level with no pits. And if you go down it, you get the wire, which is not very useful. It's just a grappling hook that sends you straight up.
But you have to look up to use it. It's the only weapon you can fire up.
Yeah. Then I think Pharaoh Man, there's like a... At the like end of the first part of Pharaoh Man's stage, there's like a drop. But you can jump over it and keep going.
It didn't even occur to me to try.
And there are the balloons, which work like the item number 2 from Mega Man 2, where you can place one and it slowly travels up, and you can hop on it and place another one and kind of stare your way up. They're both pretty useful in Wily's Castle, but if you miss them, it's not a huge deal. And I actually really like that. It rewards you for exploring a little bit.
You know, as much as you can explore in an early Mega Man game.
Yeah.
2D set scores do not exactly lend themselves well to exploration.
Super Metroid!
It's not a side-scroller. Well, I mean, it is, but, like, it's not a side-scroller genre. I guess it's not a platformer. Oh, well, you know, I say that. Anyway, moving on.
The other major addition to Mega Man 4 is the Charge Shot, which, speaking of Metroid, although Mega Man did it before Metroid, you can now charge up your Buster to a more powerful shot.
It adds something to do while walking around. I honestly kind of feel like they just use it as an excuse to give the enemies more health overall.
I didn't even know you could do it.
Yeah, and I think you probably could have played through the game without ever even knowing, but it makes the bosses a little easier.
It makes the bosses more interesting because there's something you can be doing while you're dodging, charging up your shot. But charging up your shot just isn't interesting, I guess, is my problem with it. You're just holding down a button. It just makes your thumb tired, and it just makes the reflex about lifting off the button instead of pressing it. It would make encounters with multiple enemies more difficult and interesting, but you never really face those.
I've been wondering about the hold down a button to charge your shot mechanic since I've been playing a lot of 20XEX, and I don't know that it really adds a lot to the game, but I like it for some reason.
It's interesting in Super Metroid because it's an optional power-up, and it just helps you with fights, and enemies kind of have more health. And in Super Metroid, that gives you a feeling of progression because the enemies are easy at the top, and they get harder as you go into the game. Mega Man doesn't really have that, though, so I don't really see a good reason to have the charge shot. It's cool as an idea. It's cool for an anime, and it looks cool when you shoot off the full power blast, but...
I like that explanation. It's cool for an anime.
Well, I mean, it is, but I don't know that it really adds much to the game. It does make the boss fights a little more interesting, because you can, while you're dodging, you feel like you're accomplished something, because when you turn around to blast them, it'll take 3 hits off them instead of 1. But it also makes the weapons you're getting from the bosses a lot less useful.
Although I feel like they were less weak to their weaknesses, that, you know, twice I actually managed to find a boss's weakness. So I think they maybe balanced for that a little bit.
If you have charging up as one of your main mechanics, I mean, that's perfectly fine. But if you have an instance where all you're doing is charging something up, you've already kind of made a mistake in gameplay, because if all I'm doing moving through areas is charging up my weapon...
Yeah, and there is a lot of just running through empty space in this game, I feel.
You really want it to work basically like regenerating health works in modern shooters, right? Where you pop off a shot and then you have a breath. Only in this case, instead of regaining health, you're charging your weapon again. And there are a few bosses where it works that way, but for the most part, just running through the game, you just keep going, you shoot your charge blast, then you shoot the like enemy that lived with your regular gun twice, and then charge up again.
And I kind of wonder if, like, I don't know, I always used to dislike auto-charge, but I'm kind of wondering if I just want to have that on in most games from now on.
It depends, but, like, my hand got tired holding down the button. I don't think it adds much outside of boss fights.
But it looks cool.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's just, like, someone had this idea, like, what, we gotta put something new in Mega Man. Oh, that would be cool. But the game doesn't really feel designed around it, and the ways it does kind of takes away from the Mega Man formula, I feel.
It feels a lot more part of the game when you get to Mega Man X, so maybe they...
Yeah, I agree with you. But in Mega Man X, you also have the dashing, so you have this mobility mechanic and this dodge, and enemies... Like I said, you encounter multiple enemies at once, so there is a real difference of which one do I hit with the charge shot, and which one am I going to pelt away at.
I feel like they maybe improved upon that in later games by forcing you to make a decision about who to blow the shot on.
All right. Let's talk about the level design a bit, because I think this game, while I said it was a little uninspired, I think it has some of the best level gimmicks of the Mega Man franchise yet, and Mega Man's already a game that's really good at making its levels feel different from one another, but I also feel like they made some major missteps. And the first one is I feel like there are lots of jumps in this game, maybe because you start with the rush coil that are sort of designed so you have to hit them perfectly, and that's all that's going on. It's not like a jump with an enemy popping up or an enemy on the other side you want to avoid. It's just a pit. And it seems like there are lots where you bang your head on the ceiling and can fall into spikes, or where you have to jump at the very edge or you die, and that's not interesting at all.
I definitely found one where, in order to make it across a gap, it was like an optional item to go get, to be fair. But I definitely had to slide all the way to the end. And you couldn't actually jump. I died like 3 or 4 times trying to jump back from it.
When you're doing something like, you know, you pixel perfect jumps and have to do it absolutely perfectly, that's just obnoxious. That's not really a fun challenge. That's just irritating.
Yeah, there has to be a choice involved in your jump. And if we are going to contrast this to Castlevania, which is my favorite NES platformer, those are all about, there's one enemy on the other side throwing bones at you and an enemy on the front side. So what are you going to do? Are you going to kill the first enemy and then try to jump? Are you going to try to get the enemy behind him and then try to avoid the bones he's throwing? Or are you just going to jump over the first enemy, then quickly jump over the second and time it really tightly? That's a really hard jump, but you're making a bunch of choices on there.
In Mega Man, you're just jumping because you need to move forward.
And like I said, the if I'm going to defend them, and I don't think these are great defenses, they give you the rush coil to start, so I think they wanted to like still try to create some hard jumps, which is why you got those ceilings, because the rush coil isn't going to help you with those. This was an era where the perception was a hard game was not necessarily better, but it was going to last you longer, and they may have gotten some feedback that Mega Man 3 was too easy. I didn't feel that way, but that's the only thing I can think of, because this game was very well reviewed when it came out, and is kind of fallen out of favor since then.
Well, it's often hard to tell, for me at least, with Mega Man 3, given that it's hard to tell if a gameplay is actually good if I'm watching a slideshow.
Yeah, this game still has some of those lag problems. It's a lot better. I only noticed on one level when there were really big set pieces.
I noticed on a couple of levels that I played, but I might be a little bit more sensitive or less tolerant.
It also just didn't seem to be as in as bad a places. Like, I remember in Mega Man 3, there were bad jumps I needed the time in enemy fights. Here, it seemed to mostly happen sort of not on load screens, because this game doesn't have load screens, but those sort of quiet times, so it wasn't really getting in the way of the gameplay.
I noticed it a couple times when I got to, like, 2 or 3 enemies on screen, it would start to stutter and slow.
Yeah, but for some reason, those bats that return from as far back as Mega Man 2, I think, I could have, like, 3 of those on screen and it was fine, but, like, one of the larger enemies would slow down a little bit.
I think it's because Mega Man cheats a lot with the NES graphics. Like, most of those big enemies are not polygons things, they're backgrounds.
Yeah.
And so, like, Mega Man is doing all sorts of crazy calculus to make the game look as good as it does. And gameplay is always should win out over graphics, but at the time, they needed to sell games, and look how cool this is how you sold games.
It's often still how you sell games.
Well, I mean, that's how Sega managed to get away with it, is that they made their look really, really pretty.
With turbo graphics.
Blast processing.
All right, so let's talk about some of the good stuff Mega Man 4 did. And like I said, the level
that
gimmicks,
exists.
I think, are... Yeah, Mega Man 4 is pretty good overall, I think.
Did I comment on how all the powers are basically just repeats of previous powers?
You just did.
On the mics. Yeah,
no,
so
I guess
there
we can
go.
Into that. I was going to go into the weapons later. Most of them are. The skull shield is like the leaf shield, only you can move with it, but it only blocks one thing, which is an interesting difference. But most of the other ones are very similar. The bright stopper is the same as the flash stopper.
There's basically the quick boomerang.
Yeah, the ring is very similar to the boomerang. It's got a little delay at when it hits like its apex of how far it's going to go, but it's not that different. The toad rain is new.
That is true.
It's a screen clearing attack, which is pretty useful and interesting.
But it takes a while to go off, so.
You got to dodge fire while you're waiting for it to come back down. Pharaoh shot is very similar to the atomic blaster, only you see what you're charging up and you can run into enemies with it, which is cool, but...
There's Drow Bomb, which is literally just the Crash Bomb.
It's a little different because the Crash Bomb had a delay, but yeah, it's not like, oh, this is crazy different. The attacks are pretty lame overall, and you've got that cool new Buster.
Well, clearly it's incredibly different because it's called something different. It's not a Crash Bomb, it's one letter down.
The D-Bomb?
Exactly.
But some of the level gimmicks are cool. You've got an underwater level, which Mega Man's done before, but this one manages to feel different. The water is mostly just there to help you jump higher.
Well, you have two water levels, though.
Well,
one of them is
half.
Much better than the other. Yeah, okay, that's true. I'll give you one and a half.
Then Bright Man's level has these enemies that when you shoot them, the lights go out. And these other enemies that will cause the lights to go back on if you shoot them.
Which is kind of neat. I like the little firework shooty guys. That also has like a bunch of like vacuum tube type things all over the level. Oh, no. The Bright Man stage stood out to me a lot more than a lot of other ones. It has some weird arc jumpy things. They're almost like... Ferro rides?
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, though. That's not how I would describe them.
No, it's...
They look like grasshoppers that you had to get on and platform to me.
Well, you know, there are also the grasshoppers. There are literally grasshoppers
that
you have to get on.
I forgot about the... I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, they're just like things that move in a half arc. Or half circle arc. Skullman Sage, you start out in a giant robotic ribcage, and then I don't remember any of the rest of it because it was really bland.
That's a cool set piece, but not much of them. One of them, the thing was like mini-bosses, I want to say.
Oh yeah, Diveman Sage definitely had like whales.
Yeah, but there's the one where it's just like all these platforms. Ringman Stage is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, with hippopotami that shoot missiles on like a platform.
Which was super interesting, but that's where the lag and slowdown was the worst for me, so...
Yeah, that's true.
That kind of hurt those battles.
Especially since I was using Toadman's power to beat them.
To clear the screen off?
Yeah, well, because it sent out two homing missiles, which were actually fairly hard to dodge. So I just like just clear the screen and do damage at the same time. But only on the second hippo.
So like other Mega Man games, once you beat all the mans, you go to a castle. But it's not Dr. Wily's castle this time, because he's a good guy now and is totally reformed. It's the evil Russian Dr. Cossack's castle. Which is just the Kremlin with a cannon on it, which is kind of great.
I'm pretty sure the Kremlin actually does have a cannon on it.
It may. I don't know.
All Russians are actually bears in disguise.
This game doesn't do the Mega Man 3 thing and make you refight bosses from the previous game, which is kind of too bad.
Kind of looking forward to that. I didn't get far enough to do the boss rush.
It was kind of an interesting idea that they've dropped. It makes this game a little shorter. But there are two Wily's castles, because when you get to the end of Cossack's castle, Proto Man shows up for 2 seconds with Cossack's super, super Russian daughter. And she is like, no, Mega Man, Dr. Wily is evil.
Does she look like Zarya?
I don't know who that is.
Overwatch, pink hair.
Yeah, she's the Russian chick from Overwatch.
Okay, not familiar. She's blonde, she's got a super Russian hat.
You know that one Russian hat? You know what I'm talking about.
Everybody knows what you're talking about.
Exactly.
So then you do Dr. Wily's castle. It's got some pretty cool bosses. I don't know how much time we want to spend talking about them since Tyler and Zach didn't get to it. There's one really cool one that's like this room that comes together above you and you have to jump in it at the right time and then shoot
The
weakness inside the room. And you have to like slide under it while it's flying above you.
That's actually kind of cool.
And there's a conveyor belt one that's got a kind of crappy hitbox, but is also pretty fun. So they break with tradition. They don't give you one really, really crappy weapon and make you use that on Wily at the end.
Do they give you a really, really good weapon and make you use it on Wily at the end?
Kind of. The problem is the Mega Buster is so good, and it's the Pharaoh Shot, which is basically the same as the Mega Buster, but slightly better. Like, Wily will, like, create a lightning ball, and you get to see where it's forming, and then you have to dodge it. But he's invisible, and you have to guess from where he's forming the lightning ball where he is. So the easiest way to do that is to have the Pharaoh Shot fully charged up
and
run into him with it.
Because it forms a giant fireball over your head before you shoot it, and you can hit things with the fireball.
you have like a spirit bomb floating around above
basically.
You?
Yeah, except it's a feral bomb.
And then the game ends with Mega Man on a train during the ending credits. Confident that Dr. Wily got beat up again and then escaped.
I'm on a train. Yay.
You know, he's old. He'll die eventually without Mega Man having to kill him.
Nah, he continues long enough to challenge Eggman in a death battle.
What's great about that, actually, is that Wily, in fact, lives so long that he manages to copy X and make Zero out of him.
Yeah, but, like, isn't X in stasis for a long time because Dr. Light made him? It's like, oh, people aren't ready for robots that might be humans and cause existential questions.
And then
into
he
the
died.
Box.
Yeah, into the box. Well, he was also wanted to make sure that X, being as powerful as he was, wasn't going to kill all of humanity. That's why Light had all the power-ups, because it's like, I'm not sure I can trust you
with
these
dash
yet.
Boots. Dash boots might allow you to destroy the entire universe so they get put in the box and Chill Penguin can look after them.
Yeah, well, he's pretty chill.
Damn it.
All right. So final thoughts. Like I said, this Mega Man game seems pretty uninspired. I was a little tired of it, but I still saw it through to the end. Once I got some momentum, I really liked it. And it's still better than most NES platformers. Although I am a little bit dreading Mega Man 5.
Play 2.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay, yes.
I think that's the final answer.
Unquestionably, 2 is going to be better. 2 is the high watermark for the pre-X Mega Mans, for sure.
And then you get to X, and X is just great.
And I hear 8 and 9 are good, but I've never actually played either one.
I played whatever the first one was on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, 8 and 9 were Wii U, Xbox 360.
Oh, well, that's weird. That's awkward. When did those come out?
I want to say 2008 and then 2010.
So, like, actually relatively recent? I'm kind of surprised I've never played those.
All right, so if you don't know, we have a list at our website, www.lasttimeonvideogames.com, where we list all the games we've played. At the top is Chrono Trigger. It's better than Mega Man 2. At the bottom is Golden Axe. It's way worse than Mega Man 2. At 164, we have a Nintendo 64 and then 100 more. In the middle is Excitebike. Man 4 is better than that.
I like Excitebike more.
All right, we're all in agreement that it's worse than Mega Man 2, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
How do we think it compares to Mega Man 3? One of the most mediocre ones in the franchise yet. Mega Man 3, I think, tried more unique new things. I also think Mega Man 3 stumbled out of the gate and didn't quite make it all work.
Broken game can screw off. I'd play Mega Man 4.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it a little less harshly, but my sentiments are similar. I think Mega Man 4 succeeded on the execution.
I wouldn't call that harsh. I'd call that justified.
Well, you can be both. I mean,
you could also play like the most recent port of Mega Man 3 and the Mega Man Legendary Collection where they fixed all that. All right, how do we think it compares to Mega Man for Game Boy? A surprisingly nice package. I think it's about comparable, but I think at the end of the day, I lean into Mega Man 4 a bit better. It's got a bit more going on. It's not quite as innovative or unique, but
more content available on the cart, better value for your money. I'd go with Mega Man 4.
And it's got shinier colors in that it has any colors.
Yes.
So
nonsense. Right. Mega Man for the Game Boy comes in black and piss green.
That is true.
So how do we think it compares to the original Mega Man? I don't know that I think it's better than the original just because the weapons and the mans are more unique in there. That said,
and the weaknesses make sense, and the music was better.
None of the music stood out to me in Mega Man 4, which probably means exactly. You're right, Mega Man was better.
That's like one of the things that I pay attention to is the music.
I didn't notice
games.
The music.
Yeah, I usually do notice the music, and I didn't for this one.
Yeah, I was actually going to, but Zach not noticing it is usually a sign that it's at least, you know, average.
My TV's volume was turned down.
Oh, well, there was also that.
That was actually my fault this time.
You usually only comment on music if it's bad, so.
This is true. I didn't hear it because my TV was turned way down. I couldn't hear anything.
So how do we think it compares to Metal Slug?
I think
Metal
this
Slug's
favor,
better.
Yeah, Metal Slug just feels like a really polished game to me, and this kind of didn't.
Yeah, okay, that's what I figured. Now we're in this hellhole that we seem to be ranking games in, where platformers have to go against Uncharted Waters, New Horizons, Fallout, and Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, that's actually easy. It's worse than all of those games.
Yeah, actually.
I actually agree. But it's just a weird thing where it's kind of a pass-fail test. So Mega Man 4 will go at number 35 above Mega Man for Game Boy, but below Knights of the Old Republic.
That's a bit higher than I would have put it.
Yeah, but I think it's about where I would have put it. Like I said, it's better than most of the games we've played, actually. It's just nothing special.
Yeah, the problem is there's a big gap between that and the thing right above it.
So, Zach, since you disliked Mega Man 4 so much, what are we going to play next week?
So, after giving it a lot of thought
to gain
and totally preparation, and because I want to get revenge on Jeremy, and I feel like something I have good memories of, because I want to ruin those for all time.
Isn't that the point of this podcast? Ruining people's nostalgic memories about video games?
Except yeah. Chrono Trigger and Super Metroid, and I guess Halo?
Yeah. Halo, Doom.
Pokemon?
Actually, I got good memories of Doom. I never played it before.
Yeah, no, Doom was a surprisingly good game.
Anyway.
But we're going to actually go with Kirby 64, The Crystal Shards.
I mean, Darth Maul Simulator, Darth Maul?
Yes.
Also Refrigerator, who just spits out infinite life.
So, next time on Last Time, Flame Swordsman.
Yay.
In attack mode.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2016. All the video games and other media mentioned within are copyright their respective owners. Past episodes and other information can be found at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us by email at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. We're also on iTunes and would really appreciate it if you left us a 5-star review. Podcast over. You have to go to the start screen and load your last save again.
So I was like, yes, I'm not dead. Made me happy.
Just like, you're just like,
I often celebrate when I'm not dead.
I do all the time.